Shalom, everyone. I'm Monty Judah with Lionel Lamb Ministries. Welcome to our program. We have a kind of an interesting program that we put together here that I want to share with you. And it comes from a passage of scripture that Yeshua specifically spoke in his day. And this particular scripture has had a tremendous impact on me in my personal faith of the Lord. And I'm hoping to share with you that verse and to see if it gives and shares an impact with you as well. But let me start this way. Back when I was a young man, a boy, in fact, my first Bible that I got was called a Red Letter New Testament Bible. And they had the words of Jesus in it were in red letters. And being a young boy, I was absolutely fascinated by that. I also took note that there was a lot of other people that took note of the Bible that was kind of special for a Bible because it had these red letters for the words of Yeshua. You could pay close attention to those. Not that the other letters weren't important, but it really emphasized, hey, let's really pay close attention to what the Messiah had to say, what Jesus had to say here in these red letters. And it was a way of getting you to, when you opened your Bible up, to really focus and pay attention closely as you read on your own, what did the Lord really have to say? Because obviously what the Lord has to say, that's what we should pay closest attention to. Well, back in the ancient times, back in the days when Yeshua was walking around, there was no red letter Bible. There were scriptures that were scrolls that went around. They didn't have necessarily codexes or books like we have today, but they did have scrolls, and they knew the authors and they knew the things they had said. And it was common for the people to, because they were being trained and educated by the scribes and by the priests, that they knew these basic stories, they knew the basic things that the Bible had to say, what we call the Bible today, but there were scrolls from Moses and from the prophets at that time that they used to say. But they didn't have, if you will, a red letter version of the Bible that would specifically tell them about the Messiah. Well, that's what I named this program after. I've called this program the Red Letters of Moses. I want to take you back into the scripture where Moses specifically speaks to about the Messiah so that you'll take note of those scriptures more diligently, more specifically, and then see what Yeshua does with them for it. And I'm taking this from a conversation that Yeshua had with his brethren. In fact, he was in a conversation with some other Jewish people. But they weren't necessarily quite, you know, getting it about Yeshua. They were resistive to him, and they weren't paying attention to what he really had to say. They were disagreeing with him. And one of the things he posed a question to him was based on their training of Moses and the prophets. And then he posed a very fascinating question to them. In John chapter 5, the last two verses of that chapter, it says this: "For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe in his writings, how will you believe in my words?" And Yeshua couples his ministry and his work and his teachings directly to Moses. He says that Moses is the one who spoke about me. And if you're a people who believe in what Moses has said, why is it that you're not recognizing that what I'm saying is what Moses was saying? What I'm saying is what the prophets said. And he's basically challenging them a little bit, because these are people who have studied Moses. They have been taught about Moses. And they've been taught certain things about what the Messiah is supposed to be. This is a Jewish audience that he's speaking to, an audience that has been taught on the Sabbath, Moses and the Torah portions and the prophets. And they already have a basis of information and knowledge of what Moses has said. He's relying on that basis of the teaching, but somehow they're not making the connection. And he's suggesting that the reason why they're not making the connection is because they've never believed what Moses said to begin with. Now, that's a very challenging statement to make to a group of Jews in Yeshua's day. To walk up to them and say, hey, I know you've been studying Moses. I know you've been under the instruction of Moses, but I don't think you believe what Moses said. Let me kind of put you in the mindset of a Jewish person back in those days, the audience that was listening to Yeshua. What is it that they thought about the coming of the Messiah? What did they believe? What did they think was supposed to happen? And in particular, why didn't they believe the prophecies when Yeshua came fulfilling the prophecies? They basically knew where the Messiah was supposed to come from. They knew that he was supposed to come from Bethlehem. They knew he would be the son of David. David had come from Bethlehem, the city of David. And they kind of had an idea about what the Messiah would do in that he would be a very capable person, very knowledgeable person. They knew that he certainly would teach the Torah in a very powerful way, that he would be teaching Moses and the prophets, and that he also would be able to bring victory to Israel against Israel's enemies. That's the scriptures very powerfully impacted and says that about the Messiah. And if you stopped and asked them, now, how will you know who the Messiah is when he comes? In other words, what would be the criteria that you're looking for? They probably would be hard-pressed to really cite specific things. They had certain themes down as to what the Messiah was to do, and they knew that the Messiah was to be an important person, but as to the specifics, they really didn't have the details down. And we find instances in the New Testament record, not only with unbelieving Jews, but also with the disciples themselves. They themselves had to be trained on more things, and the Messiah was constantly trying to teach them these additional things that they should take into account for them to make the decision, the determination, as to whether this Yeshua of Nazareth guy really is the Messiah. Even up and to including the resurrection, it's very clear in the evidence that the disciples weren't quite sure yet as to whether or not he was it. So they did not have a tremendous command of the scripture in understanding those things. So when Yeshua said, for had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me, if you'd have walked up and said, well, tell me exactly where did Moses write about me, and where did he write about the Messiah, and what did he have to say there that you can process and so forth, they would have had a lot of difficulty with that. There is, however, one passage of scripture that they did seem to understand. It's a major prophecy point, Moses prophesying about the Messiah to come, and it actually comes to us from Deuteronomy chapter 18. In Deuteronomy chapter 18, beginning of verse 15, I'm going to read a passage through verse 22. I want to read it through all the way, and then we'll come down and kind of unpack this a little bit. This is Moses having a conversation with God in which the God is explaining to Moses and Moses is explaining to us, there's going to be a Messiah that's going to be sent to us. Beginning at verse 15 of Deuteronomy 18, it says, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your countrymen, to him you shall listen. This is in accordance with everything that you asked of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly, saying, do not let me hear the voice of the Lord my God again, and do not let me see this great fire anymore, for I will die. And the Lord said to me, they have spoken well, and I will raise up for them a prophet from among their countrymen like you, and I will put my words in their mouth, and he shall speak to them everything that I command him. And it shall come about that whoever does not listen to my words which he speaks in my name, I myself will require it of him. But the prophet who speaks a word presumptuously in my name, a word which I have not commanded him to speak, or which he speaks in the name of other gods, that prophet shall die. And if you say in your heart, how will we recognize the word which the Lord has not spoken? When the prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, and the thing does not happen or come true, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You are not to be afraid of him. So let's unpack this prophecy a little bit. If you go and ask basic theologians today, where's the prophecy of the Messiah that's given by Moses? They're going to take you to Deuteronomy 18. However, it's not just one prophecy. It turns out there's actually two prophecies in the midst of this. And this is where it gets a little bit confusing for some people about this passage. The first prophecy, there is going to be a Messiah sent. And he's going to be like me, like God. Look at verse 15, where it says, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your countrymen. To him you shall listen." Now, some people get confused. Is that Moses talking or is that God talking? Well, interestingly enough, if you continue the passage down, there's no question in verse 18 that it's definitely God talking, where he says, "I will raise up for them a prophet from among the countrymen like you." That's not Moses talking. That's God definitely talking. At what point did suddenly we have Moses talking and then now we have God talking? No matter how you break this down, there's two thoughts being expressed. Two times, verse 15 and verse 18, "I will raise up a prophet." One of the things that you learn in studying Torah is the Torah is not redundant. And the Torah does not repeat things for the purpose of making it the superlative. What the Torah says, each thought has a distinct thought that goes with it. And by the way, there are many passages of Scripture in the Torah where this little rule of interpretation comes up frequently. And this is one of the places where it comes up. We've got two statements about "I will raise up a prophet." So if it's not for the superlative, in other words, he's not emphasizing the same point again, he's not being redundant about it, then he's actually expressing two thoughts. The first thought is, "I'm going to raise up a prophet like me." I believe that God is speaking those words, that the Messiah is going to be sent by the Father. He's going to be like the Father. The Father and him are one. He's going to come, and he's essentially not only like God, he is God. And he's going to come and be in the role of a prophet, a teacher. He's going to be a king. He's going to be the son of David, actual and physical ancestry. He's going to be the lawgiver. He's the one who was at Mount Sinai. And in fact, Yeshua repeats some of the words that were said at Mount Sinai. "If you love me, keep my commandments." That's what God said at Mount Sinai. That's what he said of himself. And he's going to know how to teach the Torah. He's going to know how to teach the commandments. And in fact, there are passages of the New Testament where he expressly is teaching certain commandments of law contrary to the teaching of the scribes and the Pharisees. In fact, the people will take note of that his teaching is different from the scribes and the Pharisees, and they're asking questions like, "Where did you get your learning? Because you're kind of expressing things we've never heard before about the commandments." Well, the reason why he's teaching things that are different about the commandments is because he's teaching what the commandments really are from God, from Mount Sinai, not necessarily the teaching of religious men that are in his day. Now, the second prophecy, and this is where it's going to get a little interesting for you, is that it's going to be about another prophet. I'm going to touch on that a little bit, but right now I still want to focus on the Messiah part, that he's prophesied about a Messiah that will come. The Messiah is to come, and he is to be a great teacher of Moses. Let me give you another prophecy that comes from the prophet Isaiah, that talks about how the Messiah is supposed to be the teacher of Moses. In Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 2, it says, "Now it will come about in the last days, the mountain of the house of the Lord will be established as the chief of mountains, and will be raised above the hills, and all the nations will stream to it. And many peoples will come and say, Come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, so that he may teach us about his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For the law will go out from Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem, and he will judge between the nations. He will mediate for many peoples. He will beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning knives. And nation will not lift up sword against nation, and never again will they learn war. Come, house of Jacob, and let's walk in light of the Lord. Now, this prophecy that Isaiah gives is a grand prophecy of when the Messiah establishes his kingdom. He rules from Jerusalem. He's there at the temple. He teaches all nations, and he's brought peace to the whole world. And he renders judgments for the world so that the world can enjoy peace. There is a parallel passage to this, and it's given by the prophet Micah. Now, many people don't know this, but Micah was a contemporary at the same days of Isaiah. Isaiah was a prophet down to the house of Judah. Micah was to the house of Israel. And Micah is going to say essentially the same prophecy, but I want you to take note of one minor variation from it. Micah chapter 4, verse 1, repeating the prophecy of Isaiah, he says, It will come about in the last days that the mountain of the house of the Lord will be established as the chief of mountains. It will be raised above the hills, and the peoples will stream to it. Many nations will come and say, Come, and let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us about his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For from Zion will go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between many peoples and render decisions for mighty distant nations. Then they will beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not lift sword against nation, and never again will they train for war. Instead, each of them will sit under his vine, under his fig tree, with no one to make them afraid, because the mouth of the Lord of armies has spoken. Now, fundamentally, one of the things that we need to correlate of what both Isaiah and Micah have said is that part of the purpose of the coming of the Messiah is to establish God's kingdom on the earth and to teach the Torah, teach the commandments of God to all nations. Now, just for a moment, let's just step back. Let me see if I understand what the basic message is that is given to us in Christianity about the coming of the Messiah. Well, he came to do the work of redemption, to establish the church completely separate from Israel, and no, the Torah isn't anymore. He now gives us grace, and we're all saved by faith. And this business about that he would be teaching the Torah, teaching the law, that he would be operating from Jerusalem, and so forth. Let's just diminish all that. Let's just not talk about that very much. Let's talk about the church. Let's talk about what Jesus did in forgiving our sins, and let's forget all that other stuff. Huge mistake. One of the first evidences that was ever given to me that maybe things aren't quite right in some of my earlier training, because I couldn't correlate these verses with what I was being taught. They should be a problem for you as well. These are very powerful verses about it. In fact, if you sit down and talk to a Torah teacher and you ask him, tell me what is the greatest prophecy of the Messiah to come, you know, he's not going to be talking about that he was a prophet raised up amongst the countrymen, that Deuteronomy 18. He's going to take you to these passages of Scripture in Isaiah. He's going to talk to you about, well, the Messiah will be the greatest teacher of the Torah and the commandments of God of any person. And he's going to teach those commandments to all people of the world. For the law shall go forth out of Zion, the word of the Lord out of Jerusalem. Greatest prophecy of the Messiah there is. I find it absolutely fascinating that Christianity has completely just dropped that whole prophecy. They don't teach that prophecy. But that is, in fact, the greatest prophecy about the Messiah. Now, this is coming from the prophets, but This is what Moses was talking about in Deuteronomy 18. The references to Moses, to the Messiah, are very, very powerful. Moses was dispatched and sent by God to see to the deliverance of the people that led the people out of Egypt and led them on a journey to the Promised Land. Well, the fact of the matter is, there's a prophecy that says that's exactly what the Messiah is supposed to do for us at the end of the ages. He's supposed to deliver us out of this world and lead us on the journey to the real Promised Land, which is to his kingdom. And once he gets in the kingdom, he will be the one who will be the king. He'll be the one who's the great Torah teacher there in the kingdom for it. Yeshua came to teach the law. Now, that's, in deep contrast, because I keep hearing a lot of Christians talk about Matthew 5:17, in which that Yeshua specifically said in verse 17 and 18, "Do not presume that I came to abolish the law and the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill." Now, that's a statement that sounds like he came to teach the law. He came to teach the commandments to all people. But instead, Christianity says, oh, that word fulfill, that means to abolish, get rid of it, annul it, set it aside. We don't have to do that anymore. When in fact, he specifically says in the same sentence, don't think that. Do not think I came to abolish the law and the prophets. And then they turn around and say, well, he came to fulfill it. That means make it go away or abolish it. He goes on further in verse 18 to say, for truly I said to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke of the letter shall pass from the law until all is accomplished. Since the days of Yeshua, we still have the sun rising in the east, setting in the west. We still have heaven and earth. It's still here. It has not passed away. And so the very conditions that he specified on how long would the law and the prophets still be with us, we still have the same conditions. There is no way the law and the prophets had been annulled, passed away, mended, or whatever, done away with, and Yeshua is emphatically doing that. And furthermore, as the point I'm making to you, the greatest commandment about, the greatest prophecy about the Messiah to come is that he's going to teach the law. And yet, the people who believe in the Messiah the most advocate the exact opposite of that. Now, I'm not going to home in on that so much. Let me go back to that passage in John chapter 5 when he was talking to a Jewish audience, because he's really setting up a tremendous contrast for those that are there. Again, he's talking to an audience that believes in Moses, that's looking for a Messiah that would do these things, and yet they're rejecting him. They're not receiving him. They're not really taking into account what he is saying, the profound things he's saying. And the interesting way that he poses, he makes a declarative statement. Had you believed in Moses, you would have believed in me, for he wrote of me. The logic of that statement is this. You guys really don't pay attention to what Moses said, because had you paid attention to Moses, what he said, you'd understand what I was talking about. But since you give lip service to Moses and don't really believe what Moses said, how are you going to believe and understand my words? And he's really challenging them on the thing that they claim is their best credibility. They're standing up and resisting Yeshua, inferring that he's a false prophet, inferring that he's a false teacher, not receiving what he's having to say, because he's not conforming to what they're expecting, what they think that Moses said. But here's the problem. They're not really referring to what Moses said. They're referring to their own expectations. It's true that Yeshua did not fulfill their expectations, but he did come doing the things that Moses said. Now, to me, one of the greatest ironies in this world is the following. My Jewish brethren, whom have studied Moses and the prophets, who want the Messiah to come, When the Messiah comes in accordance with Moses and the prophets, they reject him. Of all the people that should be receiving him, they're the ones that have the best shot at receiving him, and yet they reject him. And on the other hand, my Christian friends who take the words of Moses and the prophets and deny them, and deny that those are prophecies of the Messiah, advocate that Yeshua came to do things different than what Moses said the Messiah would do, different from what the prophets said that he would do, yet they believe he is the Messiah. Now, help me figure that one out. It seems to me that the Jews should have believed and the Christians shouldn't believe because they're disconnected from what the original prophecies and what Moses and the prophets really had to say. But Yeshua, in that statement of, had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, he's inferring and very clearly saying that believing in what Moses has written is key to understanding and believing what he is talking about. If you have a disconnect in that, where you're disputing Moses or not believing Moses, then you're going to have a problem believing in Yeshua correctly. And by the way, just because you presumptively say, well, I'm going to go ahead and believe in Yeshua, whether I understand any of this stuff or not, by the way, that's not faith. That's not the faith that God talks about that leads to salvation. Presumption is the playground of false teachers and false prophets. That is not true faith. That is not based on truth. That's something else that the world gets themselves caught up into. I want to take you back to another point about what they were expecting about the Messiah, and I want to emphasize this just a little bit. They had an idea that the Messiah was to come from Bethlehem because they understood there was this prophecy about that the Messiah would be a future king of Israel. He'd be the son of David. The covenant that God made with David, that his son would be the ruler, would be on the throne of David. He would be a king, and that he would have an army of Israel. And a lot of the people in the days of Yeshua thought that that army and him being the king like David was a great warrior king. They thought the Messiah would be a warrior king, and he would drive the Romans out. The Romans were occupying the land, and they had been the aftershoot or the after effect of the Greeks coming in through Alexander the Great. Those in Israel wanted all the foreigners removed. They thought the Messiah would come in and remove all of them, and they thought that was what he should do. Besides the fact that he would be a lawgiver and teach the Torah to the whole world, he would convince the whole world that they should be following what Israel does. He would bring back also the scattered of Israel. And at the time of the days of Yeshua, and there's many prophecies that speaks to this, the house of Israel, the northern kingdom, had already been scattered by the Assyrian kingdom. The house of Judah had a previous captivity. They had gone to the Babylonians and had come back after 70 years. And so the idea of being captive and then coming back to the land, that was an important dimension about who the Messiah would be. And their expectation was the Messiah would be bringing the scattered of Israel back. And I want to cover some of those prophecies with you a little bit. Most Christians have never heard these, but these are also prophecies about the Messiah. Not only that he would be a great Torah teacher, but he would be gathering Israel at the end of the ages. Let me take you to Jeremiah chapter 23. This is a very powerful prophecy that speaks to this final gathering of the scattered of Israel being brought back to the land. This is part of the prophecies of what the Messiah would do. Jeremiah 23 and verse 5, it says, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he will reign as a king and act wisely and do justice and righteousness in the land." See, there's the prophecy of the Messiah. He's going to be the son of David. He's going to be a righteous king. He's going to be a judge. He's going to deal with all the nations of the world. And then it goes on to say, verse 6, "And in his days Judah will be saved, Israel will live securely, and this is his name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness." Okay, everything sounds good. Then in verse 7, he says this, "Therefore, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when they will no longer say, 'As the Lord lives, who brought up the sons of Israel from the land of Egypt,' but 'As the Lord lives, who brought up and led the descendants of the household of Israel back from the north land and from all the countries where I had driven them, then they will live on their own soil.'" In the days of Yeshua, the house of Judah had gone to Babylonian captivity and come back, but the house of Israel, the northern kingdom, they had gone into captivity earlier and they had not yet come back. And the belief was that when the Messiah comes, that he would be this son of David, that he would be a righteous king, and he would be a warrior king, he would be teaching the Torah, and he would go get the scattered descendants of the house of Israel and he would bring them back. He would bring these scattered exiles back to the land and they would be joined together. You see, and then we get this other prophecy. Stay with me now. We get this other prophecy that's back in Deuteronomy 18. Let me take you back, hold that thought. Let me take you back to Deuteronomy 18 again. Remember in verse 15, it says, "I will raise up a prophet like me, like God." And then in verse 18, it says, "I will raise up a prophet like you, Moses." Why does God need to raise up a prophet like Moses? Well, it says right here in Jeremiah, it's in the future prophecy, there's going to be another Exodus. There's going to be another group of Israel that's scattered in the nations, and they need to be brought back, brought from the hands of their enemies, brought back to the promised land. And the prophets have said that God's going to be doing that, and he equates that as another Exodus. In fact, in the prophecy that's given by Jeremiah here, he's saying that when you use the word Exodus into the future, you're not going to be referring to ancient Egypt. You're going to be referring to something that the Messiah will do when he brings the scattered exiles of Israel back to the land. This is the number one reason why Jewish religious Jews reject the Messiahship of Yeshua of Nazareth. They don't have any dispute about him teaching the Torah, and they don't have any dispute about the fact that he was born in Bethlehem, that he was the son of David, that he came and he did miracles, and that he was even resurrected from the grave. They don't have a problem with that. The problem they have is he didn't fulfill this prophecy. He did not bring the scattered exiles back. And to further aggravate that situation, if you recall, after Yeshua's resurrection in 70 AD, the Romans came and laid siege to Jerusalem. And in 160 AD, the house of Judah went into exile. They went into captivity by the Romans. And that Israel, both houses, the house of Judah and the house of Israel, have remained in captivity scattered throughout the nations until here just recently in 1948, when the house of Judah has begun to make their way back to what we call the modern state of Israel today. The way that prophecy is to be fulfilled, that Judah has to be in the land so that Israel can join with them. That's the way the prophecy is worded. So that was very important when Israel became a nation again in 1948. It set the prerequisite for these prophecies of the greater Exodus. And these are prophecies that it says the Messiah is supposed to do. Now, when I speak with my Jewish brethren and we talk about, well, why do you disagree that Yeshua of Nazareth is not the Messiah? They will bring this issue up. They will bring, well, he didn't bring the scattered exiles back. And I said, well, let's talk about what that prophecy said. First of all, he goes on further to say that the prophecy that the Messiah is going to have a greater exodus, it's going to be all of Israel that's scattered in the nations. And the house of Judah didn't get scattered until after the resurrection. So it's still yet future prophecy. And here in these last days, we're beginning to see the remnants of that prophecy take shape. And so that seems to appeal to them from that standpoint. And said, well, we'll have to watch. We'll have to see what happens. Because their anticipation is that when they see Israel and all of the people of Israel that are scattered in the world come back to the land of Israel, that the person doing that will be the Messiah. And that's their anticipation. That's what the prophecy says. Now, does the Christian world have any knowledge of these things? Well, so far in my empirical research of what I've done, meeting lots of brethren, most Christians have never heard of anything called the Greater Exodus. They have no idea about the prophecies of the scattered of Israel brought back. They've all been told that Israel is no more. The church is now the economy of God. That's what's replaced Israel. And by the way, when the Messiah came, he did away with the law. We don't have to do that stuff anymore. We have grace now, and the church has effectively replaced Israel. Now, only in the evangelicals in this last generation, because Israel's become a nation, well, we have a bunch of evangelicals that are, quote, pro-Israel, so we're allowed to get Israel back in the Bible and back into the scheme, and so we got this, you know, we love Israel, but we also believe that Yeshua did away with Israel, and we're really the church, and all that sort of nonsense. And that's kind of where we're at this moment. I'm here to suggest something rather strange to my Christian friends. And it goes to the words that Yeshua posed in his day from John chapter 5. Had you believed Moses, you would have believed in Yeshua. My Christian friends don't believe the words of Moses. They don't believe the words of the prophets. They've been told other words. They've been told words that are different than what Moses said, different from what the prophets said. They've been told that when Yeshua came, that he did away with that stuff. And they make references to the book of Galatians and other passages of Scripture. And they've also got some strange ideas about eschatology and what's supposed to be happening at the end. In fact, they get the idea that when the Messiah returns, the big event is he's going to come back and rapture out the church. And well, yeah, there's a few minor things he's going to do with Israel, but it's really focused on what the Messiah is going to do with the church. That's what they've been told. And they hold to those words and those expectations so strongly. They have no idea what Moses actually really did say, and they don't know what Yeshua is referring to when he talks about, had you believed Moses, you would have believed me. Because they're not really listening to what the Messiah said about himself and about these things either. They don't see the Messiah as teaching the Torah and the commandments of God. They don't see the Messiah echoing what Moses said. They think maybe he's talking about some new things. Or, what's worse, they just ignore some of those red-letter words in their Bible since it doesn't line up with their expectation, doesn't make sense. I want to share a quick example with you about how devastating misexpectations are to God's prophecies. You remember that story in Matthew chapter 2, the birth of the Messiah, when the wise men came? They had seen the star, and they came to Jerusalem, and they said, we have seen the star, we know about this prophecy, you're supposed to have a Messiah born in the land. Where exactly is he to be born? And King Herod at the time called for the chief priests and the scribes to come, all the Bible scholars to come. And they asked him, where is the Messiah to be born? What's the prophecy say about it? And they said, oh, it's that prophecy down there in Bethlehem. That's where the city of David is at. He's supposed to be the son of David. He'll be born in the city of Bethlehem. And so the wise men said, oh, great, well, we're going to go there. And King Herod, of course, said, now when you find him, you know, send word back so I can come and worship him too and all the nonsense, although Herod was very concerned about somebody might be coming to take his kingdom away. Now, the wise men go down there, and you know that part of the story. How come we didn't have any religious men, none of those chief priests, none of those scribes, none of those Bible scholars, how come they didn't go down to Bethlehem on the trip with the wise men and look for the birth of the Messiah? And the answer is, well, because they didn't believe what the prophets had actually said. I mean, that verse about that he'd be born in Bethlehem, that's really it's a thematic prophecy. It's kind of an allegory. David was from there. He's supposed to be the son of David. So that's the reason why they're making reference to it. But the Messiah is not going to actually really literally be born in Bethlehem. I mean, Jerusalem is the city of the king. Surely the Messiah will come here to Jerusalem where we're at, and he'll check in with us, and we'll certify that he's the Messiah, and he'll certify that we're the rulers of the people, and everything will be great, and we'll set up the kingdom, and we'll be in charge. And as a result, their expectation got in the way of the prophecy. The fact of the matter is, Yeshua was born in Bethlehem. Only they knew the prophecy, but they didn't handle the prophecy correctly. Did you know that we have a whole bunch of prophecies about the end of the ages, about the coming of the Messiah? The second time that a lot of Christian teachers, they think it's allegory and metaphor, but they ignore them, and they've got a whole nother story they tell you about what the Messiah is supposed to do when he comes back, and it doesn't line up with what the prophets say. You think there could be a problem there? Yeah, I think there could be a huge problem there. I think it's very important for us to learn what are the red letters of what Moses said about the Messiah so we don't make that huge mistake. This concludes our first episode. I look forward to see you in the next episode, where we're going to look at what Moses really had to say about the Messiah. Shalom to all of you.